Welcome in. Good morning, everyone. Time for another edition of Your Life Matters with clinical social worker Dr. Beth Placheka from Safe Harbor Counseling and Dr. Beth Speaks. As we welcome in Dr. Beth again on this part of the morning show, Beth, how are we doing today?
I'm fine, Mike. How are things with you?
Doing pretty well as we look forward to another show. What's our focus on today's program?
Today we're going to talk about three steps in a different way to address anxiety and depression.
And we've touched on this in the past, so let's get our listeners refocused on this because it's a very important topic.
Right. It is. Both are rampant right now. Anxiety, I would like to remind the listeners, is that uncomfortable sensation that warns us of possible danger in the future. We try to control something, and our body is letting us know. It's like the light on the dashboard that something's wrong with your car. And depression is that sense of regret that we've done something we can't ever overcome. So in the past, you know, we've talked about reducing anxiety using meditation, mindfulness, and prayer. All excellent strategies, all of them. The fourth one that I'm going to bring up today that has three steps to it is the examination of conscience. And the difference is that one includes a call to action. And it makes it more difficult for us to fool ourselves. Now, I will admit to our listeners that when I'm on a diet, I can convince myself that an oatmeal raisin cookie is a good breakfast because there's oatmeal and raisins and eggs in there somewhere. I didn't bring up the sugar because, you know, that's not important. I fool myself. So, you know, when we're doing an examination of conscience, we are comparing what we are trying to do to outside standards. So, you know, like people think of, like, say, the Ten Commandments or virtues or things like that for examination of conscience. We can also think about medical reports, studies, what experts say. So the goal of an examination of conscience is to use rules that have stood the test of time to judge what we're doing, decide what we should do differently, and make and keep that commitment to do something differently. And it can't be the latest bad diet. It can't be the latest bugaboo unless it lines up with things that are tested in time. So people will feel like they've got an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other. But what we know is these things work. Because when we're doing something that, you know, eating wrong or making poor choices in relationships, our nervous system knows it and it sends those signals to our body wanting us to make some changes. So we're going to feel uncomfortable and nervous and depressed. When we're thinking about external rules, we want to think about who the authors are. Do multiple experts say the same thing? Has it been around for a long time? Things that don't work are, it's too hard, or I just want to do it. So here's what you do. Three steps. Every night, 10 minutes. Near the end of the day, be quiet and just think about your day. Consider each category: physical health. Do they eat and sleep and exercise well? How are my relationships at work and at home and with my neighbors? What kind of thoughts do I have? What am I doing spiritually? Am I in right with a bigger perspective? Then write down the changes that need to be made. Usually it's the opposite. If you stayed up too late, go to bed early or earlier. If you drank too much, how much are you really going to drink? Those kinds of things. If you owe someone an apology, do it. Get it off your conscience. Get it off your mental list. So with each thing, we do the opposite of what we identify as bothering us. Then the next, write it down. Next morning, look at the list and do those things. Call the person that you need to apologize. Change the tone in your voice when you talk to somebody. Make yourself the person that you want to be. Because it gets harder and harder to fool ourselves then. And it's true. People make mistakes. We all do things that are wrong. And we worry that somebody knows about it. We feel guilty. We don't know what to do about it. And then we think everybody's watching us. And things get worse and worse for us. That anxiety increases. So we want to stop it when the things are still thoughts, words, and actions, and not habits. The earlier we notice that we need to change, the better it is. It's always easier to lose 2 pounds than 20, you know? So those things prevent other people from shaming and manipulating us. They make us safer, and they make us in control of our lives, which is all good for our mental health.
Great advice, as always. And if you want to find out more about this particular topic, not only can you hear this show, there are other resources connected to this topic and previous topics as well, all at safeharboril.com. There's also a Safe Harbor and Dr. Beth Facebook pages. Past recordings of shows are available on the safeharboril.com website as well. And if you want to call and find out more through Safe Harbor Counseling, that number is 630-466-8657. We'll talk to you again next week.